Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Here ends our gospel lesson.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had a whole other sermon, maybe not quite halfway through, but I threw it out. And felt called to preach more from scratch this morning. And as a result, I'm inevitably inclined, and it's hard for me to resist. I've been preaching a lot on the first lessons these past couple years here. But the gospel lesson story of the Good Samaritan is just an unbelievably powerful parable that's hard for me to pass up. So I'll be focusing on that for this morning. One of the reasons I think it is so powerful is that there are so many places for us as readers, as Christians, as people of faith, to enter into this parable and to see ourselves. Sometimes this is good, sometimes this is not so good. From the beginning, perhaps you imagine yourself in the lawyer's shoes. The lawyer, and by the way, lawyer in this term is not necessarily modern-day visions of ambulance chasers or corporate lawyers, you know, in suits and stuff like that. Lawyers in the ancient world were primarily interpreters of the Torah, scriptural lawyers, if you will, interpreters of God's law. And it's maybe as much an accurate description to read this guy's title as a super religious guy. One who follows God's law, is in church all the time, or temple back in the day, and is very obedient to the Ten Commandments and the hundreds of other laws that you find in Leviticus. And as such, if we read it as that, maybe many of you guys can relate to the lawyer, or rather, this very religious person, one who comes to church, tries to live the good life, tries to follow God's teachings and instructions over your life, gives to church, doesn't lie, doesn't steal, all that sort of stuff. And as a religious guy, Jesus really affirms him, right? He has the understanding. He gives the right answer. The right answer. Best in the class, right? A+ for this religious lawyer guy. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he answers, when Jesus asks, what's written in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. Not only did in giving that response did he understand the letter of the law, he understood the spirit of it too. We're not called to follow God's law just to be keep all our ducks in a row and be sort of type A spiritualists, if you will. Check off the box of, did I do this or did I not do this today? But instead, he grasped that all of the Torah, all of the Old Testament law, is about living in a loving relationship with God and living in a loving relationship with our neighbors. He got that. Where he seemed to fall a little short or be pushed and challenged by Jesus was his understanding of who his neighbor is. Now, and to his credit, again, this religious lawyer guy gave the right answer, but he wanted to justify himself, it says. So he asked Jesus further, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? This is a question for the ages, and one in which I hope we all can step into this religious lawyer guy's shoes and say that we will always need and be compelled to ask this question. In each day and age, in each country, in each language, there's always a push for us to ask and to ponder deeply who our neighbor is. The big reason for this is that throughout human history, throughout every time and place, every country, language, nationality, ethnicity, whatever, we all have a tendency to create Samaritans out of our neighbors. The Samaritans, as we encounter on this story, we get the good one, right? but Samaritans were deemed and dubbed almost universally as heretics by the Judeans of the day. Samaritans were kind of a conglomeration of the conquered 10 tribes of Israel mixed in with all other sorts of nationalities that and religious practices that had been brought in by the empires of the time. As a result, they had kind of competing pseudo-Jewish religious practice while at the same time not worshiping at the temple, not seeing the descendants of David as their kings, so on and so forth. They're kind of like half Jews, if you will. As a result, the Jewish people just hated so much about their religious belief and practice. It's a funny thing. Geographically, the Samaritans lived right next door to the Judeans. So when you ask, who is my neighbor? Oftentimes, the answer you will come up with is the person you hate the most. The person who lives right next door that you can't stand. That was definitely true for the hearers of this story. Though the Samaritans were physically and geographically and arguably religiously the closest to them, they were their greatest enemy, their greatest opponents. And I wish that ended in this time. I wish it were that we as people could be more inclusive and open and really see people who are different from us, people who are near, people who are far from us, as genuinely people created by God, a loving God who desires the best for us all. That's a tall order. That is incredibly difficult. Wherever we live, we always seem to be putting up walls and categories of who is in and who is out. Who belongs and who does not. For many of us, it begins at school. It's kind of a tough thing of having young children and seeing them already, the ages of 2 and 3, experience bullying. The other kids telling them to shut up, pushing them around. But it extends well beyond that. It extends through to our adult lives where we see those people who are different from us, and we end up loathing them for their differences. And so we create Samaritans out of them. We say that they are not fit and worthy to be among us. They are getting it wrong, and we need to resist them for that. So enter in this story. Enter in the story that Jesus tells in this super roundabout way of answering that simple question, who is my neighbor? In comes a priest, another super religious guy, right? A priest who's worthy to be in the innermost circles of the temple life. And this priest follows God's law. And he sees that this guy might be dead. And God's law tells him, if he touches a dead person, he will be unclean. He will need to be atoned, and it is wrong by the laws of God for him to do that. So he steps aside. It's not exactly a hit and run, but he's leaving the scene of the accident, if you will. Leaves the man to his fate. Also comes a Levite. Levites were the religious tribe, if you will, of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was out of the Levites that came the priests and the leaders throughout the land. They were the clergy class. They were Hindu, they'd be like the Brahmin. If they're Lutherans, they're like the Seth Nelsons. This Levite is one who knows the laws of God as well. Similarly, he observes them to the letter. And he steps by. He leaves this man to die rather than risk touching a dead body and making himself unclean. And in answers next the Samaritan. The Samaritan who is mutually at odds with this Judean guy who is lying hurt within an inch of his life. Robbed and broken, needing assistance. The Samaritan, this enemy of the broken man, is moved to mercy. Takes from what he has, bandages the man, and takes him to an inn. And there it says, pay whatever it takes to heal this guy. Because he is somebody that I am supposed to love. He is somebody that I am supposed to care for. Regardless of the standards we set for ourselves. Of who's in and who's out. Who's a Samaritan? And who's a chosen child of Abraham? Who's a Gentile? Who's a sinner? All those categories fell away in that moment. With the needs that he was attending to. And that's why that question, who is my neighbor, is so tantalizing, profound, and challenging to us through the ages. It's come up a lot recently in talk of immigrants and others. It's pretty loaded. And the conversation nationally goes a lot of different directions. A lot of people try and claim, I think rightly so, that unless you're American Indian, we all come from other countries, right? We are all immigrants. Neglected in that response is the fact that as long as our immigration history has been in this country, so is the history of our prejudice against immigrants. My family mostly immigrated in the wave of Europeans coming over post-Civil War in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. They did not speak English. They spoke Danish. Well, sorry, I do have some English immigrants in my history. So they were good, I guess. But a lot of my, majority of my family, their first language was German and Danish, right? And they gathered as Lutherans and Catholics, the Germans were Catholics, and they came to church. And church was the one place in society of that time where they didn't feel like Samaritans in this new world, this world that was new to them. The church was people center to them. There they could speak their language. There they could share their culture. There they could share their food. There they could do all sorts of things as though they were back in Jutland and Denmark, as though they were back in their German homelands. My seminary, Warburg Seminary, they, for almost the whole first century of its existence, lectured in German. They're still in the library. There's about maybe a quarter to a third of the library books are all these old German theological works that I could not read a lick of. because it was understood that it was sending and preparing students to serve a German church, which has since melded and assimilated over time. But as those same immigrants were coming from Europe, our country was passing legislation, primarily driven out of the West Coast here, that called for a ban on all Chinese immigrants, Chinese and Japanese. They welcomed from Europe, but banned immigrants from China and Japan. As our country kind of progressed, those prejudice against certain immigrant groups moved to be against the Irish and against the Italians. There's a lot of documented history in our country of treating Italian immigrants as second-class citizens. And does not seem to stop at this present time. We all have immigrant groups, foreigners that we resist. And many of them for good reasons, right? The priest and the Levite had good reasons for stepping aside and leaving the Samaritan to be, or leaving the Jewish man to be, their countrymen. But it was the Samaritan who was his neighbor. Because it was the foreigner, the other, the one who is different, who treated him with mercy. That's a hard lesson for us to hear in this time, in this place, where we have similar challenges, arguably more difficult challenges, as to when we consider who is my neighbor, and when we ask that question seriously of ourselves. Above all, though, I hope that you all hear, as we struggle with that question of who is my neighbor, who are we called to serve, how are we called to serve them, how are we called to show them mercy, as we struggle with that here and now and always, as I believe we always will, I hope that you also see that we are the man who is beaten by the robbers, stripped of all that he had and left to die. Unfortunately, for so many of us in this sinful world, in the brokenness through which we live, we all find ourselves from time to time in need of a Samaritan to come and save our lives. And above all, that Samaritan is Jesus Christ, who puts us on his own mule, takes us to the kingdom of God. The end of our salvation, the end of our redemption, the end of our healing, and promises to pay whatever cost it takes to make us whole again. For all the ways that we will always struggle with this question, who is my neighbor? How do we love and live well? We know that in the end, despite all our failings and all our propensity to treat our neighbors as enemies and as people not worthy of our respect, our love, our care, our mercy, God loves us anyway. And God will always work and move to make us whole and to heal us, no matter how far short we fall of living into that same righteousness ourselves. So this day, as all Sundays, we give thanks for our Savior who calls us, claims us, puts us on his own mule, and carries us home so that we might be healed forever and ever. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book, called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website, at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.